Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we just pray in the spirit, everyone? Just pray in the spirit everywhere.
By your word tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the move of the Spirit already. Yes, it's a Thanksgiving service, but you can do beyond our plan tonight. Touch everyone, Lord, we pray. Touch everyone in the direction of their needs, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Minister Gibson. It's a song, by the way. I hope you know that. Amen. All right, let's start with Matthew 16:6. I was sitting down. The Holy Spirit said, you didn't hit this. I wanted you to hit it in the cupboard, but you were not able to hit it. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I've never seen this in the TBT. Let me try it and see. If it doesn't go well, we continue with the NKJV. It says, Jesus spoke and said to them, watch out for the yeast. All right, that word yeast. Watch out for the yeast of what? The Pharisees. And what? The Sadducees. Are you here? How many of you know what yeast is? In the NKJV, they call it leaven, rather. You know what yeast is, isn't it? Are you in church today? Yeast is what do we call it in our own way? It's still yeast, right? Yes. Remember, you know the effect of yeast, right? You put it in flour and it... Can we celebrate Goswill and his beautiful wife, Mr. Goswill? Amen. Wonderful people. They were here yesterday in the talk show. You remember? Was it yesterday? Yes, yesterday. He's into ICT. Hallelujah. And his beautiful wife, Mrs. Goswill. We just finished the work like that. Alright? When you put yeast inside flour, it expands the capacity of that flour, isn't it? It makes it to just poofs up, just poof, you know. There's a scripture that says pride poofs up. It makes your head big. I've heard people say your head don't get big, but you know, things like that. That's the kind of effect yeast gives toward flour. I almost said it like a Nigerian flower. Amen. So that some of us will understand. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here?
Yes.
Glory to God forevermore.
Yes.
Now, Jesus is warning us to be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. He said we should be careful of it. That's part of scripture. I always tell you, when you come to church, be interested to know Bible. Don't just be thinking plenty things. Be interested. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
It says, and they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? TPT said, thinking Jesus was scolding them over not bringing bread, they whispered among themselves, sir, we don't bring bread. That's why I say, be careful of their own bread. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Probably you're thinking Jesus is like, they charm your own bread, their own bread to give you people. And that's part of scripture. But Jesus, being aware of it, Jesus is a real prophet. Doesn't need to hear what you are saying. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you lead of little faith, why do you reason among yourself because you have brought no bread? In TPT, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, you have such little faith, he shouted. Why are you arguing with one another about having no bread? Next part of scripture. You know why Jesus was surprised? See it here. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? In TPT, are you so slow to understand? Have you forgotten the miracle of feeding the 5,000 families? And how each of you ended up with a basket full of fragments? My God. Look at them. You know what they are thinking now? That when we are done sharing anything in church, they will carry the remaining. As the disciples, nobody will give it in this church. We will rather share it again for everybody. I be church. Is that not how it's supposed to be? Disciples carry one more. Amen. They behave like Christian mothers. You know, as your mother ever attended a wedding before and came back with that bag, yeah. And when she removed the things, your mind just did boom. 5 plates of rice came out, take away from the disciples behaved like Christian mothers. They took one. Are we together? Next part of scripture. So Jesus was surprised. He's like, I spoke about something else. You guys are thinking it's bread. Why will you be shocked? Ah, hi, I'm seeing one person sleeping or one lying. I will not mention the person's name. No. Jerome, where's this thing? Bring it, please, billboard. Please sleep, please. Oh, where is it now? Where is Jerome? Bring our billboard now. It's not there. Please. What's written here? Okay. Please, sleep. When we catch you, climb there and just hold it like this. Okay. Now, only me and that person know. You know the woman with the issue of blood. Only her and Jesus know. Who touched? You just know that somebody touched me. She said, it's me. As I'm talking now, I'm sounding general. But that person, that sister or brother, know that I'm talking to them now. You say, I'm a good pastor. I will not call your name. Oh. Last warning. Let's continue. You know, it shocked me. Oh. What time? 11:35. How about Jama? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, there's a name we even give sleep in this church. What was the nickname for sleep in this church? Satan's effect. Because it's only Satan that will want you not to hear what I'm saying now, like this. So, you're delivered. All
right, Jesus was like, you people are complaining about bread. You are wondering if I'm talking about bread. Did I not multiply bread? Meaning Jesus is like, I can do it again here. In fact, I'm the first. Checking from scriptures, Jesus is the first bakery. He can produce bread. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Without no workers, nobody, you know, you just say, bread. Bread will just come. Imagine Jesus was in our time now. It's Tito bread. People used to go and line up now. But just like this. Why will people not come next Sunday? Even Jesus, when he turned bread, when he multiplied bread, the next time they came, they were looking like they meant receiving from him, you know, the word of God. Jesus says it's a lie. It's bread. Then he said, it's me that is the bread that when you eat, you hunger no more. So some of you that came to church for food, there is a bread. There is a bread. Jesus, I'm giving you the real bread. Eat him tonight. You know, sometimes when you invite people to church, they say that they share food. We share food. And when you eat this one, you will not hunger no more. Next part of scripture. Alright. Not the 7 loaves of the 4,000 or how many large baskets you took up. Next part of scripture. Verse 11. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the living of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Let me read the TPT. Don't you understand? I'm not talking about bread, but I'm warning you to avoid the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Next part of scripture. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the living of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and what? The Sadducees. Then finally they realized he wasn't talking about yeast found in bread, but the error of the teachings of the Pharisees and what? The Sadducees. The effect of their teaching, their lies, is like yeast. Lies spread faster than truth. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? The effect of lies like yeast. That's what Jesus is saying. So when we say truth, sometimes people are arguing, they are wondering, what the hell is this preacher saying? Hallelujah to Jesus. Because they are used to lies. There's a saying that says when lies becomes an institution, it said truth sounds like what? Rebellion. That's what is happening today in the present church. When you tell people about the word of God, they are arguing with you because they are used to religious lies, the yeast of the Pharisees. Do you know that the problem of Israel today was a lie said many years ago? A little lie. They gave soldier money. It was a pastor, a bishop that did it in their days. The Pharisees. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Hope you know it was bishops and pastors and reverends that crucified Jesus. It's not unbelievers. Check your Bible. Even the unbeliever, Pilate, he said, I found no fault in this man. They said, do it. He took water. His wife said, remove your hand. They brought water. He washed his hands off. He said, my hand is not here. I give you this man. Do with him whatever you want. They said to him, his blood be upon and all of our children. How wicked. Because he stood against their practices. They will be bent on their own practices. They, for instance, Jacob dug this well. Jesus said, you don't need a well. Out of your belly flow rivers of living water. You are a wicked preacher. We must, our father, Jacob, dug this well. We must drink from that well. There's salvation in that well. He said, there's nothing in that well. There's a shadow. The original is cup. Everything points to Christ. He told the woman, give me water. She didn't give. He said, I wish you know who is talking to you. He said, I can dig a well in your spirit. You don't even need to come here. You'll just be drinking water. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Again, he asks, effective worship is how? She said, in Jerusalem. He said, no, nobody needs to go to the mountain to worship God. He said, you have to worship God in the spirit, by truth. She was offended. They are offended. Many of them were offended because he was just going against their tradition. Moses said this to us, and he said to them, Moses said to you because of a condition. You guys had hardness of heart. So you made Moses to say these things to you. But in the beginning, it was not so. And they got offended again. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He was totally against. He called them hypocrites. At a point, he called them the blind leading the blind. Do you know the first time Jesus cried was because of the church, the present day church in his days? The Bible said when he saw their condition, how much hardness of heart they had, the Bible said he cried. He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you. As a mother hen will want to gather her chicks." He said, "But you deny me." He said, then he said, finally, where there are what? Carcasses. What will happen? The eagles will gather. Jerusalem temple was snatched by the Romans that time. They were destroyed. It was a prophecy that was manifested those days. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? After he left, they destroyed them. They took over them. Why? Because you are claiming you represent God, but your practices are totally against God. They are against the church. They are prevailing against the church. Check those people. They are not the church. Nobody can prevail against the church. Upon this rock I will build, and the gate of hell will know what? God said they are not supposed to prevail against us. So when it seems as if they are prevailing against us, we are not on the right foundation. Because he said the church must be on the right foundation. And that's the reason the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. What is the foundation? Christ. Peter said you are the Christ. He said upon this revelation I will build my church. If the church is built on wrong revelations, the gate of hell will prevail because that revelation is sinking sand. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible speaking. It says in Luke 6, it said a wise builder digs the ground, make sure he finds a rock, then he builds his house on the rock. He said, but a foolish preacher just builds his house on sand. A foolish builder, I mean. Hallelujah to Jesus. He builds his house on what? Sand. He said, when the flood of life and the challenges of life come against such a building, it sinks to the ground because it's built on what? Sand. He said, but the wise one will dig the ground and build his house on the rock. He said, when challenges of life rises forth, he said, what will happen to that one? He will keep on standing. Why? Is it because he's nice? Is it because he's kind? Why? Because he's founded on the rock. Do you see why you can be sincere and not know how to serve God? Do you see why you can be sincere and still be wicked? Do you see why you can be sincere and still be a womanizer? There are a lot of men who are sincere, but they don't know how to stop themselves from following women. There are a lot of people who are sincere, but they are still thieves. You can be very sincere in your heart. You don't want to do it, but you find yourself what? Doing it. Because it's not about being sincere. You have to be founded on the rock. It is Christ that works in us both to what? Will and what? The doing of his good pleasure. It's not about your sincerity. See, from today, God, I promise you, I will never sin. We've said that a lot of times, yet we still sin. It's not about your sincerity. He doesn't need your sincerity. It is him that worketh both to will and the doing of what? His good pleasure. He works in you both to will and the doing of his good pleasure. Allow him work in you by the revelation of Christ. On your own, you can do nothing. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. Nobody can prevail by human strength. No matter how powerful you are. And that is why in Romans 10:1, Paul prayed a prayer for Israel. These guys were very sincere people. They were people that were very religious. They loved the Lord, but they were not founded on the rock. See what Paul said. Can we read together? The NKJV. Want to go, everybody. Brethren, my what? And what? For what? Is that they may be? Wow. Israel that we traveled to, we're not trying to mock them. Some of us, we feel like that is where God is. But what is Paul praying after Jesus has gone? He said, pray for Israel to be saved. The TPT. Let me see it in the TPT, how it puts it. I've not read it before in the TPT. It said, my beloved brothers and sisters, the passionate desire of my heart and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. Meaning that even though they were having all those religious practices, viewing from scripture and the order of God's standard, they were not what? Saved. The Bible says, if a man desires mastery yet not crown, he should strive what? Lawfully. Don't just be running. You know, how many of you have, we all did it in secondary school, isn't it? Yellow house, green house, red house, blue house. Where I grew from, we had nicknames. Everybody has different. But where I grew from, it's called Dalet, Abyssinia, Mogadishu, Boma. But civilians, what are your own? Call your own. Are you hearing all this thing? That's why they say we are bloody civilians. Some people are calling this one Margot House, this one, the rest. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we had different kind house and a yellow blah blah blah. Now remember the inter house spot. What's that race called? Relay race. How many of you watch one video where, I'm not trying to mock, I saw it on Facebook. Jonathan started the run. He ran. He gave Buhari. According to the video, I'm not the one that created it. In case people will come out to arrest me. Then they turned back. Buhari wanted to... You are supposed to go to the front. Buhari and then I was running back to where Jonathan. The Lord give you understanding. So, imagine... Are you here? Imagine your house is yellow house. You are in inter-house spot. You want to win because you have been carrying last in football and the rest. You just felt like you should win now in running. Your last hope. They run and they now give, for instance. They give Ima. As they give Ima, Ima now turned back. And he's running back. When he came here, he's like, I win. What will all of you do to him? You will beat him. Why will you beat him? Even though he carried first this way. The first is useless. Because he didn't strive. Why? How? Lawfully. And somehow there is this track. You are not supposed to go outside your track, isn't it? Imagine you give Imana. Imana enter another person's track. And is running and pasting the person. Even if he wins, he did not win rightfully or lawfully. Are you people here tonight? God doesn't want you to just do things in the spirit anyhow as a Christian. You don't just dress anyhow. You don't sing anyhow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't talk anyhow. There's a way to talk. You don't just have any kind of relationship. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, lately in the church, we've been saying this, that we don't even understand what is happening in the music industry. Many years ago, when we grow up, we know he's a gospel singer when we see them. But today, you see a gospel singer looking worldly. There's a way to strive. You strive how? Lawfully. Are you people here tonight? We can't tell. How many of you have been seeing this problem? Is it only me that has seen it? You have to ask, is that a gospel singer? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, some people don't like this reality, but it's truth. They want me to say it's okay, dress anyhow as a gospel singer. No! How can we want to watch your song and the first thing we are seeing is your shoe and your chains? Are you born a boy? You know, I was going to watch one gospel song video on YouTube. I was liking the song. So I searched the song on YouTube. The first thing I saw as an introduction for the video was the person's shoe. Then the natural is changed. The natural is pink lips. Then the natural is face. Then he was on stage and doing like this. I said, Mama T, see gospel singer. So when you talk, they'll say, no, they are jealous. How can I be jealous of that kind of thing? How? Even if I'm not a preacher, even as a church worker, I can't be jealous of that kind of thing. Then you now interview such a person, you say, Kai, we are suffering, no guests are disturbing us. It's just God's grace. You want the disturb. Look at how you are living your life. You want the word disturb. You know, one time somebody came to my office and said, guests are disturbing me. I'm tired. I looked at him up. So guess I disturb you. Say, yes, sir. I'm tired. Anytime I have tell her to stop, she stop. I have tell her to stop, she don't want to stop. I say, block her number. I say, sir, that's harsh. That's harsh, sir. It's too harsh. You like to disturb. While we were growing up, there was this young brother. In when our spiritual father is talking to us, he will be telling my spiritual father that girls are disturbing him. I now noticed one time I came early for a meeting. We were together. He was chatting different girls. So when he just opened up again in the meeting and said, "Sir, my own problem is that girls," I said, "Sir, it's a big lie. He's the one disturbing girls." A lot of times young people are like, brothers are like that. See, let me tell you one sincere truth. If you don't show a girl you like her, she will not disturb you. All of you here, in case you want to bring that report to my office, you are the one that created that avenue.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't show a lady you like her, if you don't give her a green light, there's all called green light. Some of you that obey traffic rules. Green mean what? Come. Those days in secondary school, I remember I entered the class late. I was not really born again like that. In SS 1 or so. And there's this woman that teaches us CRS. I've forgotten her name, but I know she likes Moi Moi very well. She used to send me to buy her Moi Moi very well. It's not a bad thing, just that I've forgotten her name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, one time I came to school late. I can come very late. You know, that's not why I'm coming late now sometimes. I used to come very late. And, you know, my sins are forgiven. And I remember I followed the fence that day. I entered school. So, now, it was a long time. If you like, follow. Now, if they catch you, you're on your own. I told you it was when I didn't know Christ. So, when I entered the class, before I entered, I now went to the restroom and I arranged my hair. You know, I used to arrange my hair from secondary school. My father told them to leave me to keep my hair. That my hair used to grow too fast. So, they allowed me in school to keep my hair. So, I arranged my hair so well and I put powder. And I entered the class. I was shining. As I just went and I sat down close to one lady who was my friend. We were not in a relationship. She was just my seatmate. As I sat down, the woman was so angry. Firstly, she was angry I came late. I greeted her. Morning, ma. Bow my head. I thought I've done everything. She will not be angry. Apologize, said before she even started insulting. Because she can insult very well. So I said, sorry, ma. My dad did this thing. I lied the lie. I was lying. And I went and I sat down. I thought she was forgiving me. She was teaching, looking at me. Then mistakenly, I started chewing gum. As she just turned, my mouth just... I just stopped. Useless boy. That's the first thing she said. Useless boy. You are chewing gum in the morning. She would have not spoken about the powder. The gum stirred every of the problem I had. Look at you. See hair. Look at how you do your hair. Small boy like you. Then you put powder early in the morning. For who? She now said that you are chewing gum. This gum you are chewing now. What are you doing? Guess come. That's what you are doing. In other words, I was using the gum to call forth girls to my direction. That's how some boys do. They'll live a life that is calling girls, come. Girls, come. Then when girls come, they'll say, girls are disturbing me. Be sincere. Hallelujah to Jesus. Many years ago, while I was training my pastors, I told them one truth. The truth hurt them very well, but it's truth. I noticed girls were liking them. Girls would come to church, be liking them. They would not be feeling fly. So one day when I noticed the way girls were over there, and it's BSU, there are a lot of girls. So I even see how they make effort to look good on Sunday. So one time I called all of them. I said, you people look terrible and ugly. I hope you are aware. They said, they were just looking at me, so surprised. I said, you people are some of the most ugliest people I've ever seen in my life. Are you guys? I said, forget this hair you are doing. You are just trying to be fine. You are very ugly. You see why girls are disturbing people? It's not because you are fine. If you ever think you are fine, that's why they are disturbing you. You have lied. Look at you. I started describing them. I said, see your head. Look at how it is. I said, it's because of the anointing. Satan wants to destroy your life because of the call of God on your life. No jokes. That started keeping them stable. You know, we can't just deny the fact that we're all standard where we're growing up. It's a lie. I remember one time, many years ago on campus, I didn't even care about the ministry because I thought I would not do ministry in Makurdi. So I'll just call the fellowship, teach them. I'll leave them to scatter the church upside down. Even if they want to play football in the church, let them play. It was not my business. My only, just come, if I see their face, I'll teach, throw all my stones. If they start shouting, I carry my Bible and go back home. And one day they finished service and I observed one fair fine lady that came. It was one of my sons that won her heart for the Lord. I sent him on a mission. He went there. He won the lady. That's not all. She was in coma one time or so. He laid her. She came back. The family were very, everything okay. What an anointing. What level of grace and power. Now, after you have sown spiritual things, what will you receive now? Which lady in such a situation would not want to marry such a pastor? Somebody that removed you from coma. What are you looking for again? But that's not a proof that that's your wife. So I was watching them carefully. I don't used to talk easily. Our weight is when you are almost thinking you are winning that will hit you. Bob. And I observed them. They took my pastors. That time, they did line. The lady was snapping, giving them an opportunity to snap with her. I didn't know how to start from. People I took time to be trained. I thought I was training people. They were on a line, waiting to snap in one small care. After service. I was going home, I was looking at the back. Pastors. I couldn't believe it. I went home, I was thinking. One small girl. Just give them an opportunity. Okay. Pastor, you want to snap too? Okay, come. That was not all. Then one night, one of them, the one that warned the lady, came to my house to stay with me. Then, during the night, he asked me a sincere question. Sir, what if, is it possible to win a soul and marry the soul? Please, we are sorry, we opened the glass up so that more air will enter. That is why the sun is hitting some of you. So you can just change your seat. Amen? We open this our glass up there. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, can you win a soul? Is it possible for God to help you win a soul or win a soul through you and you marry the soul? I said, why not? Then my mind told me, Pastor Simon, you have messed up. I just calculated. I knew where it's going to. So I waited for the next question. So that simply means that it is possible. Now, the second question, is it possible for a lady to be very fine and still be your wife? I said, why not? Then he now put up a smile. When he put up the smile, I said, but she's not your wife. Everything just went down. This I don't understand. I said I understand what I just said. She's not your wife. As long as I'm Pastor Simon, you will not marry that lady. If you won't try, I'll go and tell her that you are a sinner. She should not even look at you. You are poor. I'll tell her plate it is. At that point, it's not like they are evil people. Are we together? But they were not fully trained. Are we together? I know now such a thing can never happen. But it happened like that a long time ago. They had desire, but without what? Knowledge. Are we together? Look at verse 2. That's exactly what Paul said here. Let's read verse 2 together from the NKJV. Everyone want to go. For I bear them witness that they have what? A zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Read the TBT rendition. It said, for I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they were devoted, they will pray with me, we'll call them, we'll pray. But they are what? Unlightened. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. You think it's normal that you finish a ministration somewhere and you are asking girls for numbers, the ones that were shouting during your ministration. You think it's normal? It is showing that you are not grown yet as a Christian. I told my pastors one time when I was teaching them, I said, imagine that I gave in to every lady that wanted me. You think I'll be your preacher today? It's not possible. Oh, you think I was so ugly growing up that no lady used to like me? No, that was not it. I don't need to loud it. You know, it's the truth. You know, one time some of them, while we're in BSU, they saw some first-hand proof. I'd seen a lot of things. You know, several years after ladies would leave church, I'll be hearing that they left because of me. I was not aware. One came many years ago when I was done preaching in the class. He said, "Pastor, sir, I want to be cleaning the church. The fellowship ground on campus, very dirty technical block before they renovated it. One dirty class like that." I said, "No, just sweep it." "No, sir, I want to be mopping it too." I said, "Mop it for what? Just sweep it." They don't mop that kind of class. They said, "Me, I want to start mopping it." I said, okay, what will you need? Brooms, packer, mop? Please write it so that I'll buy them for you." Say, "No, sir, I'll buy everything myself. Just make sure you tell them I'm the cleaner from today." I said, "Oh, God bless your heart, sister." I didn't want to believe it, but I had to believe it. God can do it. And I left very excited. Another one was holding the pulpit for church. So one time, I remember one came and said, "Sir, I didn't like the way this person is saying, blah, blah, blah." I didn't even wait for her to finish. I said, no, you people are Christians. Don't talk like that. I called two of them. I said, "Tell yourself I love you." He said, "God bless you." I went. I didn't know that the matter was deeper than that. After 2 weeks, they left church. Two of them. So I said, "Asking, why would these two people just leave church like that?" Then after like 2 years, they brought the news. They said, "Sir, we didn't want to disturb you. They left because they say you were not giving green light, be accepting green light." I said, "I didn't know anything like that." You know, I'm not saying this to make myself look, a lot of experiences, a lot. So I said to them, "If I was giving in to all of this experience, you think you come and find me preaching today?" Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Remember one time, Pastor G is not here, he ate a lady's food very well in BSU. She will bring things for me. When I say thank you, him too will go to her like Giazi. I hope he was not affected. Pastor said thank you. Just let me see them now. You collect it and go eat. You know, the lady will call, "Pastor Simon, are you on campus?" I say, "Yes." "Okay." "And you bring food?" "Pastor Simon, are you doing TDB? "Yes." "You bring food?" And they were always close to it. Hallelujah. I remember I never tasted the food. The point came where I was reading. She would come and sit in the opposite side. That one, I have to mention, because her home was too tough. And he said, "I love the way your eyes look. The way you read is sexy." Man of God. So I would look at her. I say, "When I do like this," she said, "The way you even look at me now, God." Which one be this one again? "If I do head like this, the way you even shake your head. Dear Jesus." I didn't know how to pursue her from church. She pursued herself. Hallelujah to Jesus. She was in the choir. I thank God for choir today. She used to be in the choir. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when you see yourself doing things you don't want to do, it's the flesh. Alright? And sometimes you can be a Christian devoted to God. But if you don't have understanding, you will see all of these things finding expression in your life. Are you listening to me tonight? You know why I'm talking like this is because sometimes some of you who are devoted Christians, who are Christians that want to cause revival, you just go for prayer, fasting, you forget knowledge. So prayerful, full of fasting, ignorant. And you think it will cause you to last long. If you observe, you try to move in the flesh so much. You try every stunt in the flesh. At the end, you still fall down back to sin. Especially when you are addicted. You come back to that same sin. Why? Because what takes you up and causes you to be stable in the spirit is not prayer and fasting yet. It's knowledge. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his..." That is why Jesus warned for the lies and the errors of the Pharisees. See what he said in Matthew 15:9 about their lies. I want everybody to read. See the effect of their lies. He said, "And in vain they what? Because they are teaching us what? The commandments of what? Men." Let's read the TPT. Everybody wants to go. "They pretend to worship me, but their worship is nothing more than the empty traditions of men." I don't even like the rendition more like the NKJV. So just highlight the NKJV because it passes the message more. It says, and in vain they worship me. At the Amplify, I remember it's so also good. The Amplify rendition. It said, in vain they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the precepts of men. Give me the classic rendition of the Amplify. Amplify classic. Uselessly do they worship me, for they teach as doctrine the word commands of men. Are we together? You know what that means? You can come to church and say, God, I love you. Go back home and you are living opposite of what you said. It's the same thing Paul said in Romans 7:14. Are you guys here tonight? Please, no movement. I don't want to be distracted. He said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself, what? Doing them. The things I don't want to do, Paul said, I don't want to do these wrong things. Yet he found himself doing the wrong things he said he don't want to do. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? Meaning Paul is saying, in that state, I needed deliverance. Alright? That's not the supposed state. That's not the supposed state of a Christian. So if you are there, don't think that that's a norm for you. Are you people here tonight? Look at verse 1 of Romans 7. You understand the context of that scripture. And I want everybody to read. Romans 7 verse 1. Everyone, let's read together. One, two, go. So he's speaking in this context to people that what? Know the law. People that live by the tradition of the law. The word knowledge here is ginosko. Everybody say ginosko. It means experiential knowledge. Knowledge that comes from experience. Knowledge which is a byproduct of experience. If you have not touched fire, you not know fire is hot. So Paul had tried to live by the law before. So he had the knowledge of the experience of people living by the law. So why he's talking to them is because he wants to tell them that I know your situation and I want you out from your situation. Because Paul at this time was not living by the law again. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Should I prove it to you? Of a chapter before this, Romans 6:14. See what Paul said. The same Paul. 6:14. Everybody, let's read together. For sin shall not have what? Because you are not what? But what? Meaning Paul had written before. That the reason why sin has dominion over you is because you are under the law. That's why he was writing to a people that know the law in chapter 7. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? That because I live by the law too, Paul speaking, is that I know that the things you don't want to do, you guys, you find yourself what? Doing them. Why? Because you are trying to live by the law. And sin will have what? Dominion over you. Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? Now, what is the law for us now Nigerians? When we say law now, you guys will be wondering, you know, we'll just limit it to every practice in those days. But law simply means trying to serve God from human effort. Trying to serve God from what? Human effort. That's the summary of what law means here. Serving God by your own effort, your own schemes and your own what? Tradition. See for instance, Ephesians 5. Let's see it briefly. Alright? Please restrict movement. And also stand at the door. Restrict movement. You must have regard for the word. It says in Ephesians 5 from verse 25. Let's read it together. One to go. Husbands, love your wives as what? Let's read together so that we'll participate. One to go. And what? Now next part of scripture. It says that he might what? And what? With the word? By the... Alright, next part of scripture. That he might what? To he what? A what? Not having what? Or what? Or what? But what? That she should be what? Holy and without... Now, you can use husband and wife here. You can apply this to husband and wife. But God here is speaking about Christ and the church. Are we together? Now he's saying that husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself for her and washed her by the washing of the word of God. I mean, he used the word of God to wash the wife. Are we together? Meaning God is saying that what I want to use to wash my church is the word. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Then in this part he said that I may present the church to myself. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Without what? Now present the church glorious to himself, without what? Spot, without what? Wrinkle, but that she should be what? Holy and without blame. Please follow me and listen carefully. In all traditions of the Greeks, right? No, because if God is, Jesus Christ is writing to them, he will write to them in concept they will understand. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He cannot use concept for Nigerians today because Nigerians were not the ones he was talking to. So he had to use concepts that they will understand in their days. So if we are studying scripture, we must understand the concept of those days. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So that we'll understand what Jesus is truly talking about. Alright? So now, what comes to your mind when you hear spot or wrinkle? You are thinking about something on your face or head. Is that not it? Are you guys here tonight? But according to scripture, that's the best way English can explain it to you. That's not what it means in those days. There was an old tradition for the Greeks where before you get married as a man, you must make sure you are really loaded. Because if you want to get married, anything the lady wants for that marriage, she will not give a dime for it. You are the one that will do it. If the father says, I want a car before marriage, if you truly love the lady, you must provide that car. If not, marriage will not happen. If before the marriage, the brother of the lady says, I want a house, before this marriage happens, if it's a condition, you must provide the house. What I'm trying to say is that nothing about the woman must apply for that marriage. She must not give a dime for that marriage to happen. You must give everything for the marriage to happen. Ladies, do you like that tradition? Alright. So the man will do everything. The woman will do nothing. But anytime somebody gets married in those days, men don't laugh too much. And women understand the condition of the man because they know that the man really went through a lot. See that Mr. Goswin now is married. If it was those days now, they will be mourning him. When they see him in the morning outside, people will just be coming and say, ah, man of God, take this thing, hold this one. We know what you went through. But you know, these days a woman can decide to even want to do a wedding gown. It happens. I've heard stories where women say, if you are ready, let's marry. Everything is intact. In fact, some men, they just provide them even wedding suit. They just appear in the wedding. I had a friend many years ago that said these words. The lady said, my father loved me so much, he said, I should just bring the man I want. The guy is a man of God, though. He didn't know when he fell for it. Until God helped him, he came out. The man saw him, everything. They'd be Indomie in school that time. He would wake up Indomie, afternoon spaghetti, night, or nah. There was nothing, chicken in his fridge, everything. She would come to the house, look at what is not available, go and bring it and put it inside the house. Because it was a mighty supply from her father. The man just said, bring a man you love. That's all. Hallelujah to Jesus. That was their tradition. So, you see, before the marriage happens, are we here? The man will provide everything. So everybody knows that man suffered. He went through a lot. But you see, one thing that their tradition entails is this. There is something you must create on the woman's wedding gown. That thing is a designer's pocket that English now translates to wrinkle. And that wrinkle is also a spot. That's why the Bible says spot or wrinkle. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Not spot and wrinkle. So it's a designer pocket. Do we have any lady here that has a designer pocket? Favor, come. Imagine this is a wedding gown from Favor. That Favor is wearing. Amen? Yes. See designer pocket. Yes, sir. Please climb up so that they will see you well. If you look at the front of her dress, there is this pocket there. Imagine that's a gown. The gown goes behind, you know the way their gowns are. There's a pocket at the front. As she enters the ceremony, they know the mystery of that pocket. It's a mystery that has been unveiled. What it means is that as she's entering, you put money in the pocket to appreciate the man. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because you know the man is the one that took this load upon himself. So as she's entering the wedding ceremony, what are you putting? Pocket. To reduce the load for the man. You are putting money inside this designer pocket called what? Wrinkle. It was a tradition. You can go and Google it. It's true. Are we together? So that when the man is done, he can say, my friends really tried for me. They made this wedding very okay for me. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But God said, for me, I don't want a church that will enter the ceremony. Because the second coming is likened to the wedding feast of the Lamb. He said, I don't want my church, which is the bride, to enter this wedding feast of the Lamb with designer pockets, a wrinkle. So he said, I want my church without a spot or what? A wrinkle. So that when she enters, nobody puts money and at the end say, they helped me build my church. Because I want to build my church, verse 25, by nothing but the word. The word. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Who is the word? Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody to add to my church. I want my church to be made up only by the word. My ideologies. No man's ideology should be added to my church. That simply means if you understand this, then canon laws are useless. Did you catch what I just said now? Man-made ideas are what? Useless. Don't try to add to the church. The problem of the church is human ideas getting added to the church. God had a plan for his church. There was a design in the heart of God when he thought of the word church. He said the church should be founded on Christ. That's what will make sure that the gate of hell will not what? Prevail. So if the church is not founded on the word of God alone, the gate of hell will what? Prevail. If there's human ideas in the church, Satan is seeing a foothold to what? Prevail against the church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Look at the end of this scripture. Or any such thing, but that she should be what? Holy and without blemish. What is the potency and the possibility that the church will not be holy and will be with blemish? That there's a human idea, which is a function of the wrinkle or the spot on the wedding gown. As long as there's human idea on the church, Satan has a way to enter the church and destroy the church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? He didn't talk about acts of sin yet. He's talking about the wrinkle and the spot. That as long as Satan can find human ideas in the church, he will, through human ideas, enter the church and begin to cause trouble. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? So do you understand Matthew 15:9 now? It says, in vain they worship me. Why? They take as what? The what? Teachings of men. The commandments of men. Give me the NLT's rendition. Everybody, let's read. NLT rendition. Very fast. Want to go. Their worship is what? For they teach man-made ideas as what? Commands from God. That is why somebody can come and say, the things I don't want to do, I find myself what? Verse 1 says, they were living by the word law. What is law? Trying to reach God by human ideas and human strength. Are you people getting on trying to explain now? Are you understanding me tonight? So you see that it's not because you are a bad person that you cannot live for God. It's because you are using human ideas. That is why you cannot live for God. If you throw away any human idea and allow only the word of God to make you up as a child of God, you can live a life without blemish, holy and without what? Blemish. Like the scripture rightly said. You see why we're hitting away human ideas? It's not because we have problem with other churches. It's because we know that when you allow human ideas come into you, they will pave a way for Satan to enter and begin to destroy the church. So you see, the church will not look like the testimony of what Christ said. I will build my church and the gate of hell will what? But if you look at the present day church, people are suffering. The gate of hell is prevailing. You look at the church is behaving like the world. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That somebody is a Christian yet he admires worldly things. He wishes he can be in the world. You know, I gave an instance one time. Thank you. I gave an instance one time. I said I went to Boko to preach somewhere. And I found out they were very religious. The pastor told me. He said, Pastor, one of the problems I have here is that they are very religious. So while I was teaching, the Holy Spirit said, I want to flow in the aspect of miracles. So some people that were sick there, I remember a woman, was it Pastor Ed I went to with James? Okay. I went there and there was a woman who had legs looking like it was rotting or something. I can't even remember. And everybody was scared for the woman. So the Lord said, lay hands on her and the leg problem will be gone. Alright, somebody was interpreting it for me. So I called the woman out. I said, God wants to heal you in the name of Jesus. So I touched her leg and I collected the crutches. I said, walk. When she walked, they started shouting. So the Lord said, I should hit the point I want to hit. I said to them, you people are fighting over churches, yet you are losing your sons and daughters to prostitution and cultism. Follow me carefully. You are fighting over what? Churches. Yet you are losing your sons and daughters to what? Prostitution and what? Cultism. I know what happens in Boko. I've heard a lot of stories. When you go there, you hear somebody's name that is Paul, but Paul is a capon. Another person's name is Joseph, but Joseph is a lord. I'm not talking about the kind of lord the scripture says. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying right now. You know, I went somewhere, they seized the phones of my pastor somewhere. So I got offended and I drove there. As I entered the place, I didn't even know they know me. So the young man came I said, Pastor, Pastor. He was greeting me. So I was excitedly greeting him. Then I complained that they seized the phone of my boys around here. He now started shouting, who touched the anointed fold? In a big compound, he entered. He said, touch not the anointing. Who touched the fold? Come down here, all of you. The boys came down and said, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I was watching them calling him my Lord. So in my heart, I was like, what is my Lord? Is he Lord? He gave a command once. They went and brought all the phones. Once. He said, touch, you know what here? Touch not my anointing. You they mad? Bring those phones here. They just went and carried all the phones and came and apologized. Then I thanked him. He said, Pastor, forget them. Touch not my anointing. Bye-bye, Pastor. And that's how I left. So I said, I remember his name. Was it Peter? I can't remember. But a Christian name. Good Christian. I said, what is your name? They were calling him a name. He told me the name his father and mother gave him. Baptismal name they gave him. He called. I was shocked. Good Christian name. If you have heard of somebody that tried to carry a runs girl before, because I'm sure some of you here, all of you here have not carried. But if you have heard of somebody out there, are you people here? I bet you have carried before. I'm very sure you people here have never done such a thing because you are in church. Now, if you have heard of somebody that carried before, you'll be shocked at their names. So, what is your name on the road? Imagine. What's your name on the road? A lady. I say, Mary. I say, what? Mary, you are here for what? I'm here for a man to pick me. Mary? That's a good Christian name. Mary. Mary is the woman God used to bring Jesus into this world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know what this insinuates? They came from good Christian homes. The question is this: how the hell did they metamorphose from church, from good Christian home, to becoming this worldly? What happened? Because wherever they were practicing what? Religion. Are you people getting on trying to explain? Are you here tonight? Very important. Look at what the Bible said in John 10:28. I want everybody to read. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Religion is terrible. I'll show you a few scriptures after this. I want everybody to read. One, to go. Read again. One, to go. God said, if I give them eternal life, they will know what? Neither shall what? Now, how do you have eternal life? John 3:16. Everybody want to go. That whosoever believes in him will not perish. Why? Because the person has what? Do you have eternal life? Do you believe in God? You have eternal life. Those people too, they thought they believed in God, but Satan stole them. That simply means they did not understand eternal life. Because on eternal life is not something you get by knowing that. And there was one day I said I was a Christian, I was born into a Christian home. That's not how you get eternal life. John 17:3. Let's see it from scripture. I want everybody to read. It's a function of knowledge. Want to go. And this is eternal life. That what? The word. And what? Meaning, if you don't know Jesus or know God through Jesus, you cannot be impacted with eternal life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain tonight? Are you here tonight? It goes beyond religiosity. Listen, God's dream for you and I is that we live blameless, like he ordained from the beginning. Are you listening to me? And it's a possibility, but when you follow religious ideas, you'll never touch that realm. You'll never. How can you imagine that somebody is 30 years in the church? Is still struggling with lust? 30 years in the church. And they are teaching how I overcome. You know, I saw something online. It's a shame. You claim you're teaching people for 10 years and the next topic is how to overcome lust. Now, the person receiving Jesus today, I heard somebody saying that I overcame lust after becoming 10 years as a Christian. I had to pray and fast for 4 years before I had an encounter. Such a funny ideology. Making the devil look powerful. You know, let me show you why people always get knocked down by Satan. They make him look so powerful. Satan is not powerful. He had power. He doesn't have power. Hebrews 2:14, he had power. Right now, he doesn't have. But Pastor Simon, the Bible said he has given us power over the power of the enemy. He had given us power over the power of the enemy before he resurrected. When he resurrected, he said, now all what? Authority. All what? Power has been given to what? To me. Satan has no power. He's useless. When we talk to about him in church, we relate to him more like a specimen. No specimen can hurt you. When you go to the lab, you take a lizard and you explain some things you want to explain. The lizard cannot hurt you. So in church, we tell you there was one guy that almost tried humanity and wanted to try God. His name was Satan. He used to exist, but now he's useless. He had power, but now he has no power. But when you come and you say, hey, I've come to announce to you, the devil is powerful. You are the first ambassador of hell. He has no power. He had power. You are against God. Because God says Satan has had power. God is saying right now, what is God saying right now? Satan has no power. Let's see the amplified rendition of Colossians 2:14 and 15. I want everybody to read. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you here? We're almost ending. Let's read verse 15. Everybody, let's read together. One to go. When he what? And what? Those what? Of what? He made a what? Exhibiting them as what? Having what? True what? Are you seeing that? NLT likes to do justice to this scripture. I can't remember reading it here, but I'm sure it will be nice. Let's read. In this way he what? He what? By his what? He disarmed them. Disarmed. You know what it means to disarm, right? You collect somebody's weapon. He said to them, he said, be happy that you are poor. Because when you die, you go to heaven because you don't have problems. He said, rich people have problems. So you that is poor, be happy. You know what pained me in the sermon? Not what the pastor said. I turned to my dad. He did like this. That was my pain. Meaning, the preacher is trying to put my dad to in a con. I didn't like where we were, but he wanted my dad to be okay where he was. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So it pained me. And after church, he carried my hands. We should go and greet the preacher. I remember I was pretending I had to lie down. I wanted to go and ease myself. If you see the SUV, very beautiful SUV, blue, I will never forget. He went and bowed down and greeted. The man entered, wind up, AC was on, and he left. So I was wondering, if poverty is good and that we should be okay with poverty, why not share whatever you are? Let all of us be poor. So that all of us will make heaven. That's a religious teaching. Take the world and give me Jesus. Take the world and give me Jesus. You better take the world. We are warning them. You better take the world and give me Jesus. Yet we are going to school. Yet we are applying for jobs. Yet we are pursuing masters. Jesus said, the earth is the Lord's. Its fullness, the and is the Lord's earth. Are you listening to me, people of God? Listen, God wants you to be super rich. It's part of the package. When Adam left Eden, alright, listen carefully. When he left Eden, he left everything that God wanted him to have in Eden. What caused him to leave Eden? Sin. Are you listening to me? Sin was the reason he left Eden. Now that salvation has come to us, everything we miss in Eden has been given back to us. We are not pursuing money, but money is one of the things in salvation that God has given us. Meaning, if you desire to be poor, you don't understand salvation. It's called sozo in Greek. It's called soteria in Hebrew. It all means woeless. Salvation is not in bits. In bits, it's a wool. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Jesus knew there were 5,000. How many bread did he multiply? Over 5,000. So much more. 12 baskets remaining. Because God is the God of abundance. He wants you to walk in abundance. Thou anointed my head with what? My cup, what? The Bible says a poor man's wisdom is not even known. Meaning you may have wisdom as a poor man, but nobody will know it. Even in salvation, God used money to accomplish everything. Hope you know. There was a man that came out. He came from another town. What was the man's name? Joseph or who? He entered town. One of the disciples of Jesus from far, he came when he heard that they wanted, when they said to put him, they were wondering where to put his body. The Bible says he bought a place. Nobody has entered that place before. No man had been buried there before. He bought it. God did not say, no, leave me. Let me just be anywhere. Mm-mm. God allowed it to flow. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain. Because it was part of the plan of salvation. After everything,
hallelujah.
He resurrected on the third day. Glory
the
to God.
Say if you are in Christ, you are
beautiful
tomb.
Beautiful tomb. Nobody
no,
had entered
no, no,
yet.
No, no, no.
Wonderful tomb.
The Bible said if you are in Christ,
money is important.
You are 90% a new creation.
But money should not become your pursuit in life.
And
let me end with this. Don't be so money-minded that
what
you are a teacher,
say?
A doctor,
anybody,
a nurse, a soldier, a police
person,
officer,
person,
that you forget kingdom.
Person,
the reason why you are there is so that you push kingdom.
Anybody,
I told you yesterday, I said you are reading very hard and working
Christ,
very hard so that you get
word,
to a point where God can use you to...
You see why for many years...
You are getting to a point where God can use it to what? Expand his kingdom. Imagine you read so much and make first class degree. The possibility of becoming the next HOD is high. When you become the next HOD, no lecturer can try to sleep with a lady so that she has a good grade. If they try it, you are the one that will apply so that they will sack them. You will write for them to be sacked. But if your hand has been touched with the same blood that their hands are touched with, what will you do? Many years ago, I reported a lecturer in my department to the HOD. The HOD said, just leave him like that. He was sleeping around with ladies. And while I reported it was because I had threatened him that if he tries to touch my spiritual daughter, I will mess him up in the school. He threatened me to. So I went to report him to the HOD. The HOD said, just leave the matter like that. I said, sir, like that? Now the guy called me one time and said, you reported me to the HOD. Let him try anything and see now. I said, what impetus? Let him try anything and see now. I knew the man's hand too is not clean. But imagine you are there. Your hands are clean. See, don't read well. Are you listening to me? Enter every area. Go into the world, Jesus said. And what? Make disciples from every system. The world there is cosmos. It means the arrangement of the earth. Are you listening to me?
A friend of mine, he's under-
see, a useless life, right? It's not a life only in sin. It's a life just pursuing worldly ambitions. You became a good doctor. You were the best in the world. God did not use you for his glory. It's a useless life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He didn't create you to become the best in medicine. No. You should be the best, but to his glory. Can he use you in that medicine there? Is it possible that when somebody dies, he can just whisper in your ear and say, go and bring him back to life. Let me show them that beyond medicine, there's the glory. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That miracle will be more convincing than any kind of miracle. Imagine a doctor that knows that this lady is dead. Then you go back and bring the lady back to life. That doctor who is an atheist is now having seen the possibility to follow God. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain. He can relate with that miracle. Imagine a mechanic driving with you and the engine knocks down. I heard that from Prophet Kubus. And you come out and lay hands and say, drive this car. And it moves. The mechanic, you know, a mechanic said one time, I heard this testimony from a man of God. He said, nothing in this world can cause this car to move. The man of God said, yes, okay, I agree with you. He laid hands on the car. He said, in the name of Jesus, car move. They entered, they owned the car. He started moving. They went to their destination. The mechanic started crying. He said, nothing in this world was supposed to make this thing move. The engine has knocked, but it moved. I heard a story of a ghost general. They operated a lady and she died. So he washed his hands like everybody and they were going away. And God said, son, go back and bring the lady back to life. I heard it on TBN many years ago. They interviewed the man. So he went back and the Lord said, speak to her. So he said he was arguing with God. He said, God, if you are all powerful, you bring the lady back to life. I don't need to be the one to be. Why will you not from heaven? In fact, she's with you. Pursue her to come back to the earth. Instead, it's like God wants to disgrace him, because he will enter there now and be saying, in the name of Jesus. How many of you have been there before? You see a sick person, you say, God, if you are really alive. You know, atheists talk like that. If God is real, why is this person sick? Remember in the beginning, he said, I've given you authority. Sovereign authority on the earth. Meaning God wants to exercise his authority on the earth through you and I. If you don't come into the picture, God's power will not be seen. I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. And my God can do what? 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 Through his power, where? So that means if we don't allow God to express his power through us, people will not know that God is powerful. That's why I say, heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cleanse the lepers. Are you all listening to me tonight? And he went there and he spoke to the dead lady in the name of Jesus, like Jesus said in scripture. Remember when Jesus said the lady was dead, was asleep, people laughed at him. The Bible says, and they ridiculed him. They laughed at Jesus. Are you listening to me tonight? The Bible said Jesus brought her back to life. He drove them out, brought her back to life. Don't be so used to your humanity that you leave the power of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You ignore the power of God. He spoke to the lady, she came back to life. The whole hospital scattered. He said people came into his office crying. Anywhere he goes, people will just come kneel down and they are crying. Seeming like they want to worship him like God. Him too, he knelt down and was crying. He knelt down too like them and raised. Everybody were crying in the hospital. You don't work in the hospital. How would God have used you better than that man? No way. But where are you working? Wherever you are working, God wants to use you like that man. He wants to use you like that man. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? If you are working in the school, if you are a student now, God wants you to make a first class degree. They can relate more with that testimony. That they know that this lecturer is wicked, yet you got an A. They will come to you and say, this can only be God. You say, true, it's only God that can do this thing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because the testimony is very attractive to them. Your mother is sick. You tell people she will not die. They will think you are joking. She doesn't die. She will not die, I mean. She cannot die. Your sister is sick. You say she will not die. I boast to you in the name of the Lord. Sickness cannot take anybody from my home. It's not a joke. What is the reason for this assurance? Christ in me. Not just because of Christ in me. Me, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Like Paul, I labor more than they. I can't see my mother on a sick bed eating bread and be smiling with people. I will lock up myself until she come out from that sick bed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's my own mentality. Many years ago, I remember there was this lady who her brother wanted to, you know, he had a serious cancer problem. And I was not really a pastor like this. So I said, can you register? Go to Pastor Chris Healing School. And she said, see, pastor, I'll be young pastor, like she called me, young pastor. This is not what we are looking for now. We are looking for money to fly him to India. I said, okay. I saw what they wrote. Those days were 5 million. It's a lie. So in my heart, I said to myself, I said, these people are just looking for money. They don't really mean well for this guy. Look at the option I give them. I said, it's easy. I can help you. I share the link for them. I said, register healing school. She said, no, our parents, all these pastors, it's just money we want to fly him. I said, no problem. I left them. 2 weeks later, they flew the guy to India. He died in the operation. He died there. After it, he died. I didn't message her again. Of course, there was no need to message her. Hallelujah to Jesus. If your faith is in this world, you have what? It will never be said that because you didn't have money to fly your brother or sister to India, they will die. No. Peter said, silver or gold, I have not. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? Silver, money, I have not. He said, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. The man rose up and walked. You may not have the money, but the woman will not die. Are you listening to me? Such as you have, and make sure you have it. How do you receive something? How do you have something? In the place of prayer. When you pray, believing you have received, then you will have. Are you listening to me tonight? I told my church guys, I've been saying this, it is costly not to be anointed. Andrew Womack brought his wife back to life. I will never forget reading his book those days. He brought his firstborn back to life. What other peace? Where else can you find this kind of peace? Outside the anointing. To be carnally minded is what? But to be spiritually minded is what? Let me end with this story. I know a young, vibrant boy many years ago in BSU. He's dead today. Wonderful guy, bright future, beautiful, handsome boy. We're neighbors. And every time the Lord will stir in my heart, invite that guy to church. So I went to him. He said, no, Pastor, see, all this thing, we don't do amo. I was in YWAP, something like that. He said, I've joined all this thing. Pastor, see, I'm just pursuing my music career. And I know God will help me. I said, you cannot be a worldly singer. I said, Pastor, no, it's not really worldly like that. Oh. It's worldly small, but my heart is still for God. And he's really a good guy, a nice guy. So he was consumed with that ideology that I can be a nice guy and be worldly. And it doesn't really mean anything. I don't need to be religious like those guys. They don't have work. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? All those guys that pray in basketball courts. You know, one time I told you the story of a young man. He sat with a lady at that second camp, that white seat, that park there. The SU park. They sat down. I plugged earpiece like I was not hearing. I pretend a lot that way. So I was not hearing any music. I was listening to the conversation with the lady. He invited the lady from another school. And he was trying to just impress the lady. And the lady, he said, I don't know why these foolish guys will be praying here. Basketball court. He was insulting prayer warriors that were foolish guys. He said, I don't know why these foolish guys will be this. Is that what they sent them to come and do in school? Rubbish people. I hate nonsense. The lady can say, it's not your business. That's what she said. The lady said, it's not your business. Why are you disturbing them? Meaning the lady was not even impressed with the foolishness he was displaying. Now, I removed one of my earpiece. I said, hello. He said, hi. I said, why would you call people foolish for praying? He looked at me head to toe. Of course, he can't beat me. I would have beaten the guy that day. He looks smaller than me. He said, why? He just... I said, why would you be calling people foolish? Think before you talk. Before I finished talking, the lady said, It's true. Listen to him. Meaning, if I was a bad boy, I would have even carried his babe that day. I stood up and I left them. Now, I was telling this young guy to be serious with God. He would laugh, play. Every time I pray, God would say, go and tell him to be serious with me. Until one day, I heard him release a worldly song. I called him. I said, this is not your way. Change. He said, sir, pastor, you don't understand. He will run out from my house. If he sees me coming like this, he will follow the other road. He doesn't like seeing me. He now went for Project Fame, Star Quest, something like that. He went there. Then the village people thought that he has blown because they saw him on TV. It's not like he had qualified to quarterfinals, though. But because they saw him on TV, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know how villagers can think. Seeing you on TV alone, they went and they planted something. He was singing, he fell on stage. That's what I heard. They showed me the video. He fell on stage. When he fell, the judge said, go and treat yourself. You can come back automatically the next time for the next edition. He came back. His leg were swollen. I think I tried sending Pastor B before he died. His leg were swollen. I was in Lagos that time. They were just getting swollen up. And he died. When I heard it, I started shedding tears from Lagos. I remember how the Lord was disturbing me. Talk to that young boy. You know, some of you are funny. Because when you see these people up there, you say, it is possible not to serve God and to be up there. Listen, we have heard confessions. Some of these guys are into serious witchcraft. I know what I'm telling you people. Did you hear the nonsense happening lately, people of God? With those guys, those worldly guys in the US. There was one that they say over 1,000 baby oil in his house. That before you become a star. I don't want to use whatever I want to use. Something must happen. You will collect. Before you become a star, he will deal with you. And now, immediately they caught him, they started questioning all of the Nigerian artists that went to see him. Because he was more like a lord in that realm, a gatekeeper. You think it only happens there? When they said it, Nigerian artists started writing on their Twitter too. It's happening here, oh, forget all these hypocrites. Some of you are, who is your mentor? Wizkid, brother. You'll be whiskey it. Before you know, your heart is gone from the Lord. I told you a story many years ago. A lady told me I should pray for her. Her brother is about to meet Davido to sign a contract. And I asked her. I said, me pray for your brother to sign contract with Davido. She said, yes, sir. Sir, don't take it that serious. We'll sow our seeds if everything go well and the rest. I said, it's even a shame. In fact, I have to repent that somebody thinks I can pray for them, for Davido to sign contract. I said, listen, your brother needs to repent. I was brutal before, very brutal prophet like Elijah. I said, your brother needs to repent. And if I be a man of God, the contract will not work. She blocked me. The contract did not work. The brother now is a pastor. He's a pastor. When I saw that the guy is a pastor, I was so happy. Imagine Davido signed him. What will he be today? Ozeba, 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 Ozeba. You know, when we talk to young people, we know why their heart is stubborn. There was a time I was thinking like that. That the best thing that can happen to me is nightclub. I've never gone for nightclub because my father will kill me. But those days, we thought that the best thing that will happen to us is party, school party, graduation party. All of those things, you see us in the party, hey, we are happy. We thought that's the best thing of life. So when anybody advises us like that, who said, oh, this one is living a boring life? We had one deeper life brother that will be preaching to us. We will laugh at the guy. We will mock the guy. Hallelujah to Jesus. I never knew that one day I'll be preaching too with plain trousers and ghettos. And I never knew. In fact, when I just see the boy coming, I'll be like, this guy, they suffer. The father could just the first time make it, they wear this kind of clothes. I know saying he won't play ball like us, he won't be like us, but no chance. We thought that was the best thing that can happen to our lives. Girlfriend, you know, three girlfriends. Oh boy, that girl, they die for me, oh. My guy. I don't scope that girl, she cheap. She too cheap. We thought that was the best thing of life. Hallelujah to Jesus. I told you how I became born again, isn't it? I was planning to play drums. I was a drummer, a very good drummer. And my friend had arranged a lady for me. And had agreed. Because they said I was a Jew boy. So they wanted to bring me into the fold. And the initiation was that I will have the impetus to kiss a lady. So they told the lady said I was the problem. That I don't have confidence. So he now told me that, promised the lady that he would talk to me. So he talked to me and I developed confidence. I said, no, I'm not a small boy. What's wrong with that lady? Because I'm pitying her. So I made up my mind that after Riaza, she should wait for me in one of the Sunday schools. She was in Sunday school waiting for me. The class had prepared it. So I was playing drum with two minds. I couldn't wait. So the MD said, go and understand that you are not playing it well. And of course, I was not playing it well. So I plugged it to my ear. I was trying to get the next line. And Chris Devon is talking. Sitting on the fence is what allowed the flow of iniquity in your life. For you to stop the flow of iniquity in your life, you must take a stand. Boom. The thing hit me. Bam. I said, this is not me. Simon, this is not you. I started crying. They looked for me to play drum. I was not around. Where was I? My spiritual father was praying in one class, one office. I entered there, was looking at him and praying. He laid hands on me and started praying in tongues immediately. He saw me in shock. After I saw that I was crying, he just laid hands on me. I started praying in tongues immediately. Where was Simon? They would dial my number. I just pressed switch off because I was praying. That's how I became born again. After it, I went to my to-go status. I never wanted this kind of life. Please, I live for Jesus. The lady now messaged me and said, is it me you are talking to? I said, well, if you think so. She blocked me, I blocked her back. That's how my life is changed. So when we say this thing, we know why you are liking what you are liking. You think that's the best thing of life. If it's beautiful ladies, you will lose count. Remember, you see the man on Facebook recently, right? 400, still counting. You know why it's 400? They caught him. If they did not catch him, it will be 1,000 soon. Or 1,500. There is no satisfaction there. Are you listening to me? No satisfaction there. It's high time you change. When you begin to live life like this, the next people that will catch you is cultists. I hear they are doing evangelism now. As we are doing evangelism, cultists are doing evangelism. They will catch you. You are a big boy because you are a cultist. How? You know, I was telling their pastor Ed many years ago, a young boy came to my compound. I said, yes, man, yes, man. I was shouting. And when I came, I said, hey, why are you shouting? He took his hand. He wanted to slap me. And I held the hand. I said, are you mad? He said, oh, yes, man, who goes you? Who goes you? And he carried his tiny legs to pack me. And when he hit my leg, he didn't move. I play football. So I had him on the neck. I said, I am asking you a question. You are trying to hit me. What is a yes, man? I was new in Makurdi. So when he wanted to hit me again, so I packed him to the ground. I said, will you be serious? What are you talking about? My neighbors rushed out. But Simon, leave him on narcotics, narcotics. And I warned him, never come here again. Now I told him, I said, is this how court is, huh? Let me tell you the truth. What is making you think you are strong is what you are taking. You are not strong. If this normal human being hit you, you will die. Are you listening to me? I told one time, one time I preached about against gayism. They were warning me on Facebook. Against gayism, somebody is warning me in this town. What is the name? They won't call me. Homophobic or something like that. You useless, homophobic, something like that. They insulted me. He said, if you have mine, come out from your house and see what we'll do to you today in this town. I said, I should come out to where? He said, come out to your junction in Yakyo. We know you are. He knows my house. I said, okay, are you there now? He said, yes. If we'll not blow your head. I said, I'm coming, wait for me. I showed my friend, he got angry. We held our hands and we're walking there. I said, I'm at the center of the around. Can you see me? He did not reply. I said, I'm there. Come and blow my head. Listen, the devil is more scared than you can imagine. I can't serve God for how many years? See, do you know how many years I've been serving God from 17 years? You bloody fool will sit somewhere smoking Igbo and think for a day you carry your gun and kill me, I'll die. Have you seen where gun go back, bullet go back and kill you and your entire generation? I can't say. You know how many years I've been serving God? Then God will allow one useless bullet to kill me. I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded by him. You know, one time I made a mistake. I regret it to today. Somebody came to my... when I was a student, stole my new phone. New phone! 1 week old. I went to ease myself. They cut the curtain. The net. Opened the curtain. I was talking with my wife that time. Carried the phone just 10 seconds. Less than 10 seconds. I entered my room. So much air inside. I said, what is happening? When I checked the window, they've tore it. Blah, blah, blah. I saw the guy with cap running away. I said, hey, today is your last day stealing. I didn't shout. In the morning, I told my caretaker what happened. He said, why didn't you shout? I said, how can I shout? I didn't know they caught that guy at the front and burnt him to ashes. They burnt him to ashes. I regret saying that word, that today is your last day stealing. Because I was offended. It was 1 week old. Listen, we are anointed to say things that can end you. It's the truth. We are not foolish people as Christians. That's why some of you should be warned. People who finish service, hard-earned money, you go and block them to collect their phone. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? There's nothing in that life. I just feel like pouring out my heart to you people, young people. Listen carefully. There's nothing there. You don't have all the money today. Be calm. Soak the gari and eat it. My friend will say, see the gari as fried rice. See the kuli kuli as chicken. Imagine it. Eat it with gladness. Keep on working hard. There's nothing as beautiful as legit money. Nothing in this world. And do you know you can make legit money? You can be a billionaire with legit money. Don't useless your life. Satan will give you with this hand. Collect. Look at the Yahoo boys. They don't know what to do with money. That's why they have what they call Dorime. Which reasonable some person will carry 2 million, 3 million to buy alcohol and pop if it's not foolish. They are not prepared for the money they have. They are not prepared. That's why after a few years, some of them are mad on the street. Some of them are dead. Even the dressing, if you look at them, you know they are not prepared for money. Anybody prepared for money cannot wear that kind of dress. There's nothing to even buy again. It's to buy stupid things. It's time to wake up. Are you listening to me? And as a lady, let me end with this. Don't be so much into money that money is the reason why you marry a man. I'm not saying your husband should be poor. Never think like that. You will make a huge mistake. If money is what you are looking at, you must marry wrongly. I have ladies here that boldly I can tell you, they've seen all the money. They did not still marry wrongly. One time I was sharing with my leaders, a lady here, that the man said, one of my pastors, the man said, I want to hire a house girl for you. I want to take you out. I want to do this. She came to me crying that the parents are disturbing her. I said, see, your parents don't love you like God. I'm saying it to all of you here. Your father and mother don't love you like God. Some of them will use you as collateral if one kind of man come. I know what I'm telling you. They don't really look at your happiness. Which reasonable parent will say, go and marry a man. Just go and marry him. Your father was poor. We will not be poor all our life. Why did she not marry a rich man? Never use your life as a collateral. Are you listening to me? Marry a man who fears the Lord. Marry a man, number one, he should fear the Lord. Like men has come, men has come. Look at the kind of men you are marrying. They are the ones that has come. Men are not scum. It's the ones you choose that has come. Somebody told you he doesn't know God. He doesn't believe in church. You marry him and say he's a good man. To be carnally minded is what? You put yourself in a wrong place. Then you say you are looking for a movie called, what's the name of that movie? War Room. A woman is the prayer warrior of the house. Where did God write that one in scripture? The man is the covering of the house, not the woman. That you learned that from your mother does not mean that's how it should be. If your father knew better, he would not allow your mother to be prayer warrior of the house. He is the head of the house. If you marry wrongly, you will have a war room in your room, in your house. One room will become a war room. You will pray your husband not to see small guests when he travels out. That's a waste of life. You know when you need a war room is when you marry wrongly. Go and watch that movie. But you can avoid marrying wrongly and avoid having a war room when you marry rightly. Follow the wisdom of God. You will not need a miracle. I've always been saying this. Are you listening to me? A man comes with vision. He may not have everything in place. He has a house he's staying. He has a small job he's doing. He has vision. You want to marry importer, exporter, big stomach that is liable to die soon. Young women, are you listening to me? Be ready to grow. And you see, ladies that behave like that are foolish ladies that don't want to be productive. Right now, you are done with school. You are waiting for the right man. Be the right woman. Become the right woman. Who is the right man to you? Not somebody that fears God, though, the one that have Corolla. A lot of people with car don't have money. I hope you know. How much is fuel? 3,000 will take you. You move on AC. They will think you have money. You better wake up. Are you listening to me, young ladies? Grow with a man. You are done with school with a man. The same year, everything. You are not expecting the man to be rich. Why are you not rich? The same government ruling two of you. Cosmate. Then when he say he want to marry, he say, you marry me? How much do you have in your account? You have 5 million. You that graduated with him, do you have one? What is 1 million? Do you have 10,000? It's time to wake up. Grow with young men. There are a lot of good young men. Good young men. And I told you one last, I told you before, that stupid mindset that said you must be 20, your husband will be 40, is from the pit of hell. Some of you, your husband is just one day ahead of you by age. One day. Pastor, I'm too big for him. How? It's culture that taught you that nonsense. I'm too big. Pastor, look how big I am. Look how slim he is. Go and jog. Go and jog. Your mate is not supposed to be that big. It's the truth. Your mate is not supposed to be that big. A lady is 25, she is as big as a grandmother, and she is looking for a man of 40 to marry. We are not trying to insult you, we are telling you the truth. My spiritual father told a lady many years ago, she was very fat and dresses like an old woman, and she was complaining nobody wants to marry her. He told me, he said, I closed my hand and I laughed. I said, oh, I hear the Lord. I hear the Lord say you should go and jog, be jogging for 2 months. I hear the Lord say you should change your dresses to gowns. and nice way, and that you should learn to just make your face look nice. That's what I hear God saying. She was writing it down. When she did it, in less than 2 months, a suitor came. He had been around though, but he didn't know that that was his wife. The one he saw in the spirit was not the one he was seeing in the flesh. But when she started acting like the one he saw in the spirit, he went for her. So learn to grow with young men. Alright, do you get what I'm trying to say? And young men, finally, think ahead. Think with responsibility. As a responsible man. You cannot be 20, 21, 22, 23 and you are thinking of PS5. Don't be stupid. You are gathering money to buy PS5. At your age. Are you listening to me? You don't have a working business. It's PS5 you want to buy. Which woman would take you serious like that? Women are thinking family, thinking children, thinking house. You are thinking PS5. You know, when we're growing up, you'll be 5 years, let's say 10 years, two of you the same age. That lady at 15, Uncle Samuel, Uncle Gibson, hey my God. See me, see wahala. Uncle Samuel, Uncle Johnson. Uncle Maxwell, you know their names, they are Uncle Shedrack's then. Uncle Friday, they'll just sit somewhere in the area. The lady is 15 years working. Amaka, come. Amaka will come, they say, how are you? How old are you again, 15? You are getting big, oh. Meanwhile, your 15 years old friend, a boy, is with Shotnika playing monkey balls. That's the problem. That's why ladies call us small boys. But now that you are grown, start thinking like a man. Let the lady see that you are hardworking. You are hardworking. You are thinking of ways to become a millionaire soon. You are praying in the spirit. You don't only talk about prayer. You pray. When she sees that you have a vision, you're dressing sharp. The way you talk, sharp. Everything sharp. That lady will never leave a 40 years old man. I mean, leave you for a 40 years old man. She will never leave. You know why they are going for those old people? They are more responsible. Are you all listening to me tonight? You ask a young man now who is 22 in this place, when do you want to get married? You hear the useless answer. What is he? Don't any young man ask that you think is around you, when do you want to get married? Sir, I've never thought about it. So how would they think of marrying you? Then they'll go out and go and marry unbelievers. Do you understand my point tonight? That's why we lose our ladies. Because all those men outside there, they are ready. We in church. Prepare for your marriage. You know, I told myself one time, I was getting scared of marriage. In fact, there was one time, I've not told her before. There was one time I wanted to tell her, let's postpone this thing to like 2 years time. I was so scared of marriage. I tell you the truth. You know, my fear was that. So I wake up in the morning. Somebody said, Pastor Simon, your food is ready. Pastor Simon, come home, please. I'm missing. So I was like, God, so these things will be happening to me. I love Pastor Ed Nomi. 24 hours inside that my short bedroom. I'll just sit there, be hearing music, be watching Facebook, be watching everybody online. Not going outside. So I was wondering, how will I cope in marriage? So I was now scared. Almost, I was like, can we make this thing 2 years? Go and do masters. Don't worry, I'll wait for you. All of those things. Then God spoke to my heart. He said, what you are scared of now, in 2 years' time, you'll still be scared of it. What you are scared of now, in 2 years' time, you'll still be what? Scared of it. Face it now. When I got married, I never knew that marriage is this sweet. I know some young men are not believing me. Oh, they're like, oh, Pastor, forget. We know. It's sweet. Those days, there was one time I nearly died. I was looking for food by 12 midnight. I fell into a ditch. The edge of the ditch hit my ribs. How many of you remember that story? I fell to the ground. They carried me home. I heard young boys saying he drank alcohol. It was during Christmas period. They said that man looked like somebody that drank. Somebody came and saw my face. Hey, Pastor! They put their hand on the head, carried me. Looking for hospital, they were locked. Took me to my house. They kept me. I tell you, I couldn't breathe even well. Midnight. I called my madam. She was like, Pastor Samuel, you joke a lot. Are you serious? I just ended the call. She thought I was joking. I told God I'm dead. But it's only you that I have. If I knew that Ochet John Key song, I would have sing that song that time. If you don't heal me, where's... I lifted my hands. I said, God, I literally felt the hand of God literally touch my ribs. That's how God healed me. But the point is this, I almost died because of food. 2 days back, I told you a testimony. I didn't eat the whole day. Went back, they gave me honor. I ate. I said, I'm not enjoying this food. I wish I eat something light. I'll eat. I slept off saying, I said, it's too late. Don't worry, just sleep. They woke me up. The hand of the Lord woke me up. I said, what was it? He said, Pastor Simon, your food is ready there. I said, water, everything arranged. He said, please eat something so that you'll be strong. Ah. That's somebody pregnant, oh. Arrange that kind of food for me. Me, I'm not pregnant, I'm sleeping already. They arranged my food. I ate, I came back, I said, thank you. I didn't know, I couldn't pretend. I said, thank you so much, my beautiful wife. If I was not married now, maybe you would have heard that I cannot make it to the third day of Kabod. That's one of the plenty things, though. There are a lot of them. I get pampered now, like a baby, you know, they pamper me. Sleep well, pastor, you know, things like that. I was not getting pampered before. I was just getting built. Hallelujah to Jesus. So get married. Turn to your neighbor, say, get married. Turn to your neighbor, say, get married. Stop playing around, get married. Get serious, hear God, pick one, get married. Bow your heads and pray. Lord, we give you praise, we worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. Carve upon my heart this truth that sets me free. According to your word, O God, be unto me. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient word. Lord, we thank you for wisdom being imparted. Our lives can never remain the same in the name of Jesus. And the people of God shout, amen. Hallelujah. We've come to the end of the service. It was long, but it's worth it.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.